Well, good morning. I will be needing this for a little while. In Acts 14 and chapter 3, it says this: so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, and that place was Iconium, which is modern-day Konya in Turkey, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. That's a wonderful phrase that's full of mystery and excitement and depth. Signs that point to something. Wonders that make you wonder, make you amazed, make you reflect. as you know, I've been away at the worship retreat, which was extended due to ash clouds, to some time at Pine Rivers as well. And I saw signs and wonders while I was away. And I know that there are greater things to come. I have never experienced anything like what I experienced while we were away. And so it seems important to share some testimony and teach into it. Just a tiny part of what happened. Some of it I'm not ready to share yet, because I just need to spend some more time wondering. But so that we can enter into and partner with all that God has done for us. So it's not really going to be a sermon per se, but it's a mixture of testimony and reflection on it. So the conference, for several years, the worship teams from across the Vineyard churches have been meeting together, and it's been a time when they've been building relationships and unity. They've had guest speakers in, they've had worship leaders in from across from the States. But this year they felt led to invite four pastors, Greg, who is on the board and up in Cabramatta, Faz, who was here, Jeff Fazzle, who's in Richmond, Kevin Butterfield, who is at Yarra Valley, and myself, and with Kirk Delaney, who you will know, who's been here before from Pine Rivers, coming in and out. The guys who were leading the conference, which included Di Hocking from Yarra Valley and Neil from Pine Rivers, had felt that there was a real importance in emphasis of body ministry within the Vineyard, and about honoring their spiritual parents, pastors, and releasing what God had been doing through each of us pastors individually, and believing for greater things as we came together. So just to give you a backdrop. So the format was worship, teaching, small groups. Greg did what Greg nearly always does, because that's his passion. He taught on the kingdom of God. Kevin spoke from 2 Chronicles 20, and that amazing passage where the king with all the people cry out, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And then how the battle was won as they were led out with praise. And he challenged worship leaders and worshippers to absolutely keep the focus off self and put the focus on God. And he challenged them about moving away from simply worship being this place of intimacy to releasing praise and proclamation that will help bring victory. I spoke on some of the stuff about carrying and welcoming and sustaining God's presence through that lifestyle of intimacy, lifestyle of integrity, and lifestyle of influence, with the main focus being about purity and holiness. And Faz spoke on getting rid of the things that we set up as altars, the things that we worship. And that included the things that worship leaders worship, like the set of songs which we have to do. I won't go through them all because they're more pertinent for worship leaders. And building an altar in our hearts and in our homes and in our places of worship that were a place of worship where God could come with his fire. And the retreat began with a time of worship with just such a strong sense of God's presence that one of the leaders said, we have begun where we usually end. And then it just took off from there. There was lots and lots of good stuff going on. By Sunday morning, the major teaching sessions were over. Sunday night, there was an increase in the power and presence of God. And many people were touched by God. There was one guy who I'd not met before, but I just had the sense to just pray for him. And I just asked God to bless him. And he fell to the floor immediately and just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And every time I walked past him, the laughter got stronger. And for him, what was going on was that he was very, very tired. And this was a powerful refreshing for him. On Tuesday morning, after a time of praise and worship, because the guys had really taken to heart what Kevin spoke about, we made a huge difference. We began to pray for people who were doing business with God, and we were praying for one girl for a release of joy in her worship. And Di Hocking was there, Neil from Pine Rivers was there, I was there, and because it was about joy, we said to Jay, well, you got a lot of joy last night, do you want to come and share? And so what happened was that Di had got her hand on Simone, who the lady was, and then we all put our hands on top of hers. It was this sense of wanting to come together for this this girl so that there would be a release for her. And as that happened, there was just an outpouring of power. And people were saying, so what's going on? There's something going on. And then suddenly Neil just went, it's you to me. And I could feel a power in my hands. And I just prayed for Neil and he just fell over. And Di said, what's going on there? And I said, and then she fell over. And both of them experiencing a touch of the power and refreshment of God. So they took me over to Kirk, who was at the back, and said, look at this. And I just walked towards him and held my hands out, and he fell over. And as he fell over, he just... basically, he was so out of it that you couldn't speak to him, and for about half an hour. And eventually, when I came back, I said, what happened? He said, I was taken into the presence of Jesus. And in the presence of Jesus, Jesus told me the solution to a whole heap of problems at church and told me what to do about it. So basically, this was just happening all over the room. Faz, who you will know, I prayed for him, and he began to spin violently, just spinning, shouting out all of the time, I hate spinning. So I prayed for him again, and he spun faster. And he shouted louder, I hate spinning. So I prayed for him again, and he just fell to the floor. When he got up, he told me that just a moment or two before I prayed for him the first time, he'd asked someone to pray for him because he had severe motion sickness, which is why he hates spinning. But as he spun, he discovered he was healed. And as he spun faster, there was still no sickness. That's a sign and a wonder, I reckon. Put together. So we take a little moment out from what was going on and say, what God spoke to me about that day was that there was something about the release of the power of God in a new way as we brought our gifts together and we sought to give them away. As we pushed in hard as the body on behalf of someone else, then something greater was given to share. And the sense that Kev had very much was it was an access for increase of what the Spirit was doing. Lots more things happened, not time to talk about them now. The response was, this is fantastic, will you do it again this evening? And I wasn't comfortable about that, because this isn't entertainment, it's not a show. This is about what God's doing. And I knew that I couldn't presume and that I needed to seek God. And so I spent some time just praying and worshiping in the afternoon. Now, loads of these stories that I'm going to tell, I am the reference point. But this is utterly and totally about what God is doing. I'm only the reference point because it happened to me and I can verify it. There's lots of other stuff that I can't verify yet. And there's lots of other stories that I can't verify the end of yet. And so we're not going to tell those, because that lacks integrity. Or just comes out of excitement. So as I prayed and worshipped, God drew me to Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge or trusts in him. And also the word purity. And the sense of what God said to me was, I want them to taste my goodness in a way that causes them to lose the taste for other things. Which is where the goodness and the purity is connected. I want them to taste my goodness in a way that causes them to lose the taste for other things. And at that moment, I was reminded of one of the things that Teresa said to us in the early days of knowing her after she'd been touched by God. She said, I've been ruined for anything else. So on Monday evening, I just spoke briefly after the worship time on the fact that God is kind and that God is nice and that he likes you. And that believing in his goodness releases us to receive. And I knew that this was a time for building faith, because across the room there were a lot of people who'd had a lot of stuff happen to them in their lives that had taken them to a belief system that might not affect their what they stated as their belief system, but it affected the way that they lived. So as Di and Neil had both felt that when I prayed for them, something had been imparted to them, I thought, well, it would be great if they can pray with me. So I first of all, I prayed for Neil in readiness to help me, and there was a powerful outpouring of the Spirit on him. And then I just went towards Di to pray for her, and she fell over, and she disappeared for 2 hours. She lost apparently consciousness for 2 hours and was taken to places that she still hasn't got language for. So I'm waiting to hear about that. And then I knew that I needed to see people responding with faith. And so the question was, who's next? And as that happened, a couple of people came forward and were prayed for and were blessed. And then Just before the meeting, I'd had a conversation with a guy, and I'm not going to give any names other than those that we know about, like Neil and I. And he'd said that he really struggles with his mind, and that can take him to places of unbelief, and he struggles to step out in faith and connect spirit to spirit. And we talked about how part of John Wimber's journey was how he'd been incredibly impacted by a guy with a sandwich board who walked past and it said, "I am a fool for Christ," and on the back, "Whose fool are you?" And he had been called to live a lifestyle of saying, "It doesn't matter if I look a fool." And I said, that's the journey that we're on, and very often he does look foolish. And he came up next. I said, "Who's next?" He came up and he said, "I'm next, because if this doesn't work, you're going to look a fool." Now, I want to say that wasn't as bad as it sounded, because it came out of the conversation we'd had before. But it did also express some of his struggles. So I just held out my hand and went, "Come, Holy Spirit." And he fell to the floor, having never experienced that before. And then kind of faith started to build in the room. And then basically, other than the pastors who were just ministering with me, everyone had a powerful touch from God. There was healing, deliverance, surrender, inner healing, refreshment, powerful revelation, a call to holiness and dealing with sin. Probably around 40 people were just left flat out. And there were only two of those prayed for who weren't. That was a whole bunch of them didn't even need to be prayed for. They just needed to be walked towards. But there was another interesting thing. Other than those who were having such a powerful work of God that they just needed to stay with it, those who'd received blessing and refreshing, as soon as they had, they just got up and went and prayed for other people. Straight away, they gave it away. I want to just tell, do we have time? We do. I want to tell a few stories that are signs and wonders because they point to something and they make you think. One guy who was touched by God's power and presence, he had been challenged about being controlling, about being judgmental, about being compromised. And the way he was challenged, first of all, was that his body on the floor jerked uncontrollably for a long time. Control was very important to him. Not looking silly was really important to him. At the end of 20 minutes, it became completely unimportant to him. And God just broke that. And he also, there was some repentance for stuff. I saw him on Wednesday because he traveled back down to Pine Rivers. He said when he got home, he couldn't sleep. 5 hours he was just spending with God as God was dealing with him. He'd had some ways of thinking that meant that he set the parameters on what was acceptable in the way to live. And if he stayed within those parameters, then it was okay. Said he got up, he put the television on, he couldn't watch it. He couldn't watch it because the sin in it offended his spirit. He went out to the beach and there were a bunch of guys there and he couldn't stay with them because of the way that they were speaking. He had been taken to a place of understanding the holiness of God that made him understand the purity that was required of him. The more we see who God is, the more it changes us. And he'd gone from a place of observing in worship to being abandoned in worship. It reminded me of the scriptures, Isaiah 6, verse 5, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." There was one girl who was just staying with her friend who was going through a very powerful, moving time, and she clearly wanted more of God. And so when she thought it was safe to leave her friend for a moment, she came up. And I just prayed for her. I just put my hand on her, and she just fell backwards going, "This never happens to me." And it was just a lovely touch on her life. And apparently, having been part of everything that's been going on for 15 or 16 years, it's just something that she'd not experienced. There was another girl who was quiet and shy and gentle and very caring, but it had a lot of tough stuff going on in her life, and she carried a sense of sadness with her. And I knew it was important just to pray for joy for her, with that sense that it would bring healing. And she laughed. I had to reassess how long it was, because I was so busy. Someone said it was an hour and a half. I think it was maybe closer to an hour, but she laughed. She laughed to the point where not only could she not stand, but she couldn't move. And actually, till her nose bled. And I just knew I had to keep just praying for her, for top-ups, because God was healing. During the time she was taken through a whole heap of events in her life where she had been damaged and where hurt had been held on to and where she had perceptions of things and she hadn't experienced healing. And God brought healing in every single one of them. He laughed with her. She could see him at times laughing with her in the situation until her sadness was overcome by joy and she was healed. And Psalm 16, verse 11, this is the New King James Version. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And actually, if you've got a New King James Version, you'll know that the "is" and the "are" just there to make the sentence look better. It's actually like this: "In your presence, fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore." So you see someone lying on the floor laughing. And you go, "Is this God? Is this a lack of self-control? Is this..." These are the questions that people talked about with the Toronto blessing, aren't they, amongst other things. It was a sign and a wonder. It was a sign of fullness of joy in the presence of God. It was a wonder because he was healing what years of counseling didn't heal. There was another girl who had asked for prayer because there was stuff in the past that she'd just not been able to get past. And I took a whole bunch of folk together through a meditation on the Good Samaritan, with Jesus as the Good Samaritan, coming and, despite others passing by, bringing healing and bringing provision. And the stuff that she had been unable to get past for years was healed and released instantly. But then she stood up and she said, "I really want you to pray for me because my family is so dysfunctional. I can't engage with them, because if I engage with them, they will take me down. I can't speak into their lives because they will take me down." And even as she spoke, she became lower and lower. And God just gave me a word for her, really. So I just said, "I'm going to stop you there, because I don't do that. There are other people who do that, but I don't do that. I just want to ask you, who are you? Who does God say you are?" And she looked up and she said, "This is who God says I am." And so that's really great. So if that's who God says you, who you are, do you not think it'd be a really good idea for you to agree with him on account of him always being right? And she said, "That's really hard." So I said, "Come and speak it out." So she spoke out. This is who I am. God has made me to bring life. God has made me to bring vitality. God has made me. And as she spoke it out, her whole demeanor changed. She was released from that burden, and she didn't talk about it again. It was just gone. But God hadn't finished with her. She had had a serious accident 20 years ago, and her skull had been badly damaged. And it was still out of line. She had lockjaw a lot. Her larynx didn't work properly, so she could speak, but she could not sing without immediately having headaches. So she was basically, as a worshiper, unable to sing. As she was blessed on that on the Tuesday night, a couple of us prayed for her lockjaw, and immediately something moved. So that was really encouraging. And then Faz came to pray some more, and as he was praying for her, he saw in the spirit like a bubble. And inside the bubble, there was what he knew was a larynx. And so he took it out, and he placed it on her throat. And then he said, sing. And she said, I can't sing. He said, sing. And all I can say is that I was over the other side of the room praying, and suddenly someone started to sing absolutely beautifully. And they sung for 20, 30 minutes. No headache. No pain. After the meeting, there was another 2 hours of the most amazing stuff. Prophetic revelation, gifts released. God showed me something about who he's made me to be that I believe will change me forever. And it's made sense of lots and lots of pieces of the picture. It's fitted things together and it's helped me to understand. But that's for another time too. So about 1 o'clock, I'm lying in bed, and this is like the equivalent of having 17 cups of coffee, because it's just impossible. It is impossible to sleep. And just the sense of what God is doing. And God just said to me at that moment, read Luke 11:11. So I turned to Luke 11:11 and read, which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the context was ask, seek, knock. Boldness, persistence, coming from faith, need, desire, hunger. And then the ash came. And so we didn't get to come home. We ended up, probably a dozen of us, hanging out together at Kirk and Nicole's place, and worshipping, praying, talking, sharing testimony, praying for each other. Now, here's the thing. We were at that house for 2 days straight. No one ever thought to put the telly on. No one ever thought to put the radio on. No one wanted a newspaper. People just turned up with food. And we ate, and we worshipped, and we prayed. People turned up with mattresses because there was need for people to have mattresses to sleep on. They ended up on them because God had touched them so powerfully. On the Tuesday night, as I was praying and worshiping in bed, the Holy Spirit was poured out in an even stronger measure, and it just felt like I had another increase. And again, everyone I touched, prayed for in the morning was touched powerfully. And Faz, who you remember, who came with Ken, he was taken to a fresh level of surrender. He was just weeping on the floor, handing everything over to God. He was definitely seeking to be fully surrendered before that. But out of that, he's received an amazing new gift. And again, that's for another day. Prayed about the evening, which now there was going to be a new meeting because Pine Rivers had an encounter group of their guys and some from other churches on that evening. And so we were all there. And I just again asked God, what is it you want to do? And he kept placing on my heart and mind the scripture, Romans 2:4, about God's kindness leading us to repentance. Kindness leading us to repentance. And he said to me, let them see my kindness in a way that leads them to repentance. With that sense that as we see the kindness of God in those ways, it changes the way we think about him forever. And it changes the way we think about ourselves. And there's the heart of repentance. Yes, there is sin that needs to be dealt with, absolutely. But so much of the root of this comes from the way we think. And we've been called to change the way we think forever about God's kindness and about his goodness and about what's available to us and the way that he thinks about us. Because out of that, the rest flows. And that sense of God saying, because of their encounter with me, it will lead them to living differently. And that's the journey we were on, not just being touched, but being transformed. So we spent some time that evening in worship together. There was a strong sense of needing to honor Kirk and Nicole and Faz for the inheritance that they have fought for over many years. And all of them have been criticized and judged. There have been times when even they've been accused of faking the works of the Spirit. It's tough stuff. But even as I move towards them to honor them, they just hit the floor. And God poured his Spirit out on them as almost as an endorsement of that. And then we prayed for people, and all the same stuff happened again. Every person who was prayed for was touched powerfully, from a six-year-old girl right through to pensioners. And the pastors and others from Pine Rivers moved in and exercised their many and varied gifts, more healing, more deliverance, more truth, setting people free, more release of gifts, more joy and laughter, more couples drawn together when they've been apart. On the way home, there was a text from Faz. He'd got back. He'd popped into town for a coffee with his wife. They saw there one of the girls from their church with her friend. They'd just been talking about what had been happening at the conference, and this girl said, I've never been touched by God. And Faz sat down at the table. She burst into tears and was immediately touched by God. And she said, what's happening? He goes, this is what's happening. So she'll be at church this morning to discover more. Well, observations and reflections out of that. Where do the signs point? Where does the wonder lead us? There are some common themes through that. There's unity. There's the body. With the worship guys across the vineyard, they have been seeking that unity for several years. They've been pressing in for that. They've led the way in that, in one sense. Unity and body with pastors working together across the vineyard. Everyone seeking to give it away to serve God and to serve each other, which is something that begins in the church but must move out of the church. And I'm going to say, I have a quick aside now. There are many moves of God that have been lost because of the greed of Christians. Actually greed in wanting to be blessed without giving it away. Because we can be greedy in a spiritual context that's unhelpful, as well as one that's there for the right motives. And if you look at Acts 4, if you look at many other places, when the disciples are asking God to pour out his blessing, you look why. You look at why. And so if we don't move out, then we will miss out. And that's really important. And I will keep on saying it. Because we don't want to miss out. But more importantly, because we want to do the will of the Father. And we want to see the kingdom come. What does that look like personally? It means God has really blessed me. Can I pray for you? That's what it means. God has really blessed me. Can I pray for you? And then outside, God's really blessed me. Can I pray for you? Yeah, but that's awkward and embarrassing and I might look a fool. Well, your point is? Honor for pastors. Honor for those who fought for this. That was something that was going on as well. Surrender and trust to the goodness and the kindness of God. People who were moving beyond fear and disappointment and selfishness. Moving beyond having to be in control. Moving beyond having to understand. The constant call to purity and holiness and righteousness. The call to a lifestyle of worship. Not just being something we do when we meet with other Christians, but who we are. The call to have our eyes on God and not on self. Those were some of the key elements, and they still are. And they are for us today as we pursue more of the kingdom now in the middle of some of kingdom not yet. Psalm 133 verse 1, which is a song of ascents. David writes, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." And on this journey together, worshiping together, longing to be in the presence of God, focused on him, no one else. A journey of purity and an undivided heart. Looking for that fragrant outpouring of the oil of the Holy Spirit. The rain from heaven. The blessing of the Lord bestowed on us. His face shining on us. His presence and power released in us so it can be released through us. That's the journey that we're on. And it was funny because we were in the car together just driving back to Kirk's, and Ken Fish phoned. And it's like, I want this. I want this. You have to pray for me. This is about a move of God. We actually saw more powerful outpourings of the Spirit than when Ken came here. But Ken brought breakthrough here, didn't he? And he gave it away. And then we get stuff to give away. And that's the way it works. As we all find our place in it and as we all play our part in it. So what's next? Let's pray so we can find out what's next. Just ask everyone to be in that place of worship and surrender. And trust in the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, we proclaim your love and your goodness. We declare your call upon us. To be agents for the kingdom. To freely receive and freely give. And Lord, we ask that you will help us and teach us and bless us as we learn about receiving and as we learn about giving. In those times where we don't know what to do, we place our eyes on you. And we say it's all about you. Your glory, your goodness, your presence, your will, your way. And as those who are called by you and chosen by you, we want to receive the fullness of what you have for us. And we want to be who you desire us to be. We refuse to seek simply for blessing for ourselves and choose to give away. We refuse to settle for renewal because it is your desire that there is revival. And so we seek to align with you and agree with you in this. I just ask now that you will come, Holy Spirit, in power in this place. And that you will have your way among us. You'll come, Holy Spirit. You'll bring conviction. You'll bring blessing. You'll release gifts. You'll equip. That we will be touched by you in a way that leads to transformation. In a way that means we are ruined for anything else. Just going to spend some time just seeking the Lord, what's next? Just stay in a place of worship and asking. Holy Spirit. See your moving power right now. I give away everything that's mine to give away. It's for increase. Receive the Father's heart. Just to take away the sting of that stuff. huge increase in hope and faith and expectation. Just going to ask Marty that you'll come and lead us, and maybe just on your own, if that's okay. And if it's not okay, get someone else. Yeah. And we're just going to quietly worship and just see what God wants to do.